Saknoti haiva yasodham praksharira vimokshanat kama krodo bhavam devam sayuktasya sukhi naraha. Translation. Before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is well situated and is happy in this world. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. If one wants to make steady progress on the path of self-realization, he must try to control the forces of the material senses. There are the forces of talk, forces of anger, forces of mind, forces of the stomach, forces of the genitals, and forces of the tongue. One who is able to control the forces of all these different senses and the mind is called a Goswami or Swami. Such Goswamis live strictly controlled lives and forego altogether the forces of the senses. Material desires, when unsatiated, generate anger, and thus the mind, eyes, and chest become agitated. Therefore, one must practice to control them before one gives up this material body. One who can do this is understood to be self-realized and is thus happy in the state of self-realization. It is the duty of the transcendentalist to try strenuously to control desire and anger. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Sakshurun Militam Jena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padamayam Tadati Sva Padantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadhara Sivasri Guru Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Hare Hare. Sapno dihaiva yasodhum prak sarira vimokshanat kama krodho bhavam vegam Sayuktasa Sukhi Naraha. Before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the forces of desire and anger, he is well situated and is happy in this world. In this particular verse, we can see how important it is to eventually bring the our material desires, I mean to say, the desires of the mind, the urges of the senses, especially of the mind, under control. Because if the desires of the senses are not being fulfilled, then there's krodha, then there's anger. And as long as there's anger in the heart, it is not possible to contemplate, to think about the higher values of life, and thus actually leave this body, leave this world successfully. It is explained in the Vedic literatures that in this human form of life, we should only strive for those things which are not obtainable in any other space of life. Tasyaiva hetu payate ta kovido nalapyate yat pramatam ubhayada Talapyate dukavad anyadasukham sarve kalena gambira ramhasa. And as far as material pleasure, dukkha, material pleasure is concerned, this is also coming in due course of time. Just like nobody wants to suffer, but suffering is coming. Suffering is coming on its own accord. We don't have to work very, very hard to obtain or to experience some suffering. It is coming naturally. Similarly, actually we do not have to work very, very hard to experience some material pleasure, sense gratification. It is also coming. Therefore, in this human form of life, one should not waste one's valuable time working hard like asses, cats, and dogs. This is also explained by Rishabdev to his 100 sons. One should not work unnecessarily so hard just to get some material pleasure. These things are being arranged by nature according to our previous activities. Otherwise, how is it that some people are working so hard and still they do not get what they desire? And others, they do not endeavor very much, almost nothing, and they become wealthy almost overnight. How is it possible? It is certainly kamana daiva nitrena jantu dehopapataye. It is according to our previous activities. If it is not my karma to enjoy, then it doesn't matter how hard, even if externally I might get the facilities to enjoy, but still I'm not enjoying. I cannot enjoy. Although externally, just like people whole week, so they're planning for the weekend to enjoy Saturday evening, Saturday night, Sunday. Big arrangements, and then Saturday is coming, Sunday is coming, but still they're not enjoying. Then they accuse others. The boy accuses the girl, something wrong with you, and she accuses back, no, there's something wrong with you, because I was not meant to enjoy. It is not my karma. Therefore, one should not unnecessarily waste time working. As we say, we should not live to work, but we should work to live. What is that life? Right in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, this is explained, that those as the seers of the truth, those who have real knowledge, that they factually understand what is the difference between sat and asat. Is asat anything of a temporary nature? It is not so important. It will come, it will go. But this sat, the eternal nature, eternal things are of factual value. Therefore, intelligent persons, they only strive for sat. As the Vedas state, tamasima jyotirama, in this human form of life, one has to get out of the darkness of ignorance. What is this ignorance? Being attached to asat, those things which are temporary, of a temporary nature. That is darkness. And what is this light, jyoti? What is this light? Because Vedas, they proclaim we have to approach, we have to go toward the light. What is this light? That is the eternal nature, as Brahma Samhita describes so nicely. Shintamani Pakara Satmasu Kalpa Riksha. In this eternal spiritual world, everything is made of Chintamani stone, touchstone, full of consciousness. There are Surabhi cows fulfilling all the desires. In this world, everything is so limited. If I want to drink a glass of milk, so complicated. And I have to go acquire some milk, cook the milk, it will burn, of course. Then there's some disappointment. Then not enough sugar or too much sweet. Always something wrong, so many conditions. Or if I want to milk a cow, all of a sudden perhaps she's not giving milk. So many problems. But in the spiritual world, there are none of these inebrieties, imperfections of this world. You know, Surabhi cows, they give as much milk as one desires, any amount, oceans of milk. And the kalpa vriksha trees, anything I desire to offer to Lord Krishna for his satisfaction, that particular tree, those trees, will immediately carry. I remember in one lecture Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned that if you desire our gulabjamins, the tree immediately will carry gulabjamins. Hundreds of gulabjamins. And you also, you do not have the problems of the limitation of the stomach. You can offer to Krishna a whole tree of gulabjamins and also accept the prasad. You can eat hundreds of gulabjamins without any problem. This is the spiritual world. And since the living entity left the spiritual world, there's only frustration, only disappointment. Because here, in this perverted reflection of the spiritual world, we are trying the same thing. We also want to enjoy, this is natural, but now we attempt to enjoy separate from Krishna, and this is the whole disappointment. In one lecture Srila Prabhupada explained that just like in this particular verse it is mentioned that krodha, anger, we have to bring under control, desire, karma, lust, we have to bring under control. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned in that particular lecture that, but still one may raise the question, where do these things, these material qualities come from? And then he explained, Janmadiyasyayataha Vedanta Sutra is giving the answer, replies. That everything is coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything has its origin in the Supreme. Just like, and then Srila Prabhupada gave the example of Kshira Shoda. Shodi means stealing. And in this material world, if I steal the property of somebody, I will be beaten with shoes. But in the spiritual world, we can see Lord Krishna, he is stealing. He is known as a supreme thief. But do we think this is something bad? There's some fault on Krishna's part? How can he steal butter? Or milk? No, we don't think. Anything related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, anything related to Krishna, it is good. That's the nature of the Absolute Truth. In the Absolute Truth, we do not find any duality.
Like in this world is full of duality. Actually, just like Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, what is that verse? Bhadra, Bhadra, how does it start? Oh, I forgot now. Bhadra, Bhadra, Shakali, Shaman, that verse. Yes, that's the verse. Thank you, Maharaj. actually, in this material world, we cannot think in terms of something is good, something is bad. Everything in this world is actually bad. Even though we might think something is very good. Because as long as anything is disconnected with Krishna, then immediately it becomes bad. It cannot be good. And on the other hand, something which might look very bad, if this is connected with Krishna, it is good. It is all good. Just like again this example of stealing. Jiva Goswami explains that this wonderful story related to Damodar Vrata, Krishna, he became so restless when he was a small boy that he often was leaving the houses of or palace of Nanda Maharaj, and he was entering into the storing rooms of the neighbors where they used to store yogurt, butter, and then he was stealing the yogurt and he was stealing the butter. And very often the elderly gopis, they returned with Krishna to Nanda Maharaj's home, Mother Yashoda's home. They dragged him on by his hand, lotus hand, and then they complained to Mother Yashoda, "Your boy is so restless, small Krishna, he is always stealing. We are very much concerned." And Mother Yashoda, she was also very much concerned. That she began to think that perhaps I failed in my duties as a mother. Why is he not satisfied with the butter I'm giving him, with the yogurt I'm giving him? So what she did, she personally went through the cow herd of Nanda Maharaj and she selected the best possible cows. And then with her own hands, she was milking those cows. And she, before milking, she took these selected cows and brought them to the best possible pasturing grounds so that they could eat the best possible grass, very juicy, fresh grass. And then with her own hand, she was milking those cows, and personally, she turned the milk into yogurt, then butter, and then she was feeding this butter to Krishna. And she told Krishna, "Now this is, I cannot do much better than this. Please accept this butter and be satisfied, and you can take as much as you want." So in this way, Mother Yashoda was hoping that Krishna will give up this habit of stealing. But unfortunately, she was not successful. Lord Krishna continued. So we can see that this tendency is there in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it is explained that we do not factually take to this process like the Mayavadis, impersonalists, neglecting the natural tendencies of the living entity. Narottam Das Thakur, he also states like this, that this kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, all these six material qualities disconnected from Krishna, they're very, very bad. But again, somehow, if they're being connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then they do not cause any more bondage, material bondage, or misery. And then there are various examples are given. So we do not factually neglect, just like the backside, this is another example related to this particular point Srila Prabhupada has given, just like adharma, irreligion, it is considered to be the backside of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But from the point of view of the Absolute Truth, there's nothing, there's no duality, front, back. Just like if I grow a boil on my backside, I do not tell myself this boil is not so important because it is not in the front side. I cannot think in these terms. Backside boil, front side boil, I have to take care of it. I have to take care. I cannot just tell backside boil not so important. No. So we do not reject, but factually we take to a different process than those impersonalists, Mayavadis, and we engage everything in Krishna's service. This is the success of this process of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise it is impossible to bring these natural tendencies under control, disconnected from Krishna in an impersonal way. It is very, very difficult. It is much more natural to simply engage everything in Krishna's service. It is such a wonderful process. It is natural, for instance, to jump, dance. We do it for Krishna. We do not dance any longer in disco, club, beer, bars. We don't do these things. Now we are dancing for Krishna, and immediately we feel happy. Just like in this verse, it is mentioned, Sayukta sa sukhi naraha sukhi. That the yogi who brings these material desires or these desires under control, he becomes happy in this world. And he's successful when he's leaving his body. Same goal or same result we get by this process of Krishna consciousness. Even before leaving this body, the devotee becomes very, very happy, dancing for Krishna, singing for Krishna, thinking for Krishna. Sometimes he might even become little angry at somebody who is, does not speak well or positively about Krishna or the devotees. Then this is okay, you might become little angry. Why do you talk like this? You don't have the right. Then the devotee defends Lord Krishna, little angry. But this anger, now it is again connected, related with Krishna. And although he might be little angry, he does not suffer. He is actually very happy in his attempt to defend, protect the devotees of Krishna, protect Krishna. He feels very happy doing it. He does not any longer become conditioned by these material qualities. So Srila Prabhupada has given us this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness, and we have to protect it very, very carefully. We have to follow the process as it was given by Srila Prabhupada. It is not very complicated, it is very simple, very easy. We just have to engage everything in Krishna's service, and constantly, whenever we have a little spare time, just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And in this way, we will make our life successful. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna. I would also like to invite our my god brothers to, if they desire so, add just a few words or a little more if they want. Hare Krishna.
To some degree, it's a little surprise for me that I'm sitting here right now to say anything. I wasn't actually thinking of coming here so much to speak, but to listen. I was very nicely, nice talk given by Maharaj. And so I'm thinking that this idea actually of listening is very much our process of understanding transcendental knowledge. Actually, to understand any kind of knowledge, whether it is material or transcendental, one has to be able to hear. If somebody is given some instruction, then it is necessary for the person who is receiving the instruction to hear the instruction, which means they have to understand what has been said. We may think that is very obvious, but actually if it was so obvious, then why are we seeing the governments and educational institutions and so many families are unable to actually to understand what is their actual purpose? What is the purpose of their life? Simply because they don't understand instructions that are given by a proper authority. They don't even know what is proper authority. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada often, he speaks about modern education. And modern education, to people who are thinking they are modern people, right? Every few years, people are modern people. Right now, we are old, so we aren't modern people anymore. But the young people are modern, right? So the modern education, they are thinking that, oh, we know something better than our predecessors. They are unable to actually to take the advice or the counseling and information of persons who are actually wise, the sages, the great devotees, the acharyas, the shastra, and ultimately the Supreme Lord himself, Krishna. So as a consequence, society is, as we say, going to the dogs. You know, one time Srila Prabhupada, he noted the dogs, they are running on four legs and the people are running on four wheels. So what is the difference? Everybody is running this way and that way and they don't know where they're going or what is the purpose for their being here. People are thinking that the only purpose of life is simply to get some money. And modern education is simply geared for that purpose alone. Everybody is going to get some degree. But if you think of it, what is the purpose of that degree? It is so that they can get some better position, some more payment, and with the extra money, they will live in a bigger house, and they will have some more possessions and family members like this, you know. So actually modern education is only there simply to expand material desires, to increase the material desires of people. So this knowledge that is being passed down by the acharyas from Krishna through the parampara, through the scriptures, it is there simply to give proper direction as to what is the actual goals and purposes for human life. How to differentiate the human being from the lower beings like the animals. Now people find that maybe very offensive. If somebody is thinking, oh, you are saying we are like animals. But actually, it is not so offensive, because even modern education is based on that sort of idea that our fathers were apes and monkeys, right? I don't know here, but if everybody has this idea here, but so much of the education is based on this Darwin's philosophy, or this idea that everybody is coming from the monkey, that their ancestors are monkeys. But actually, this is complete foolishness. Shastra is telling us something completely different. When Srila Prabhupada, when he was asked, there are 8,400,000 different species. 400,000 of these are human species. So is it that these species evolved over a period of time? Or did they appear simultaneously? So the answer, of course, is everyone, everything, the whole creation appeared simultaneously. So the 8,400,000 forms are coexisting. So we should understand that amongst those 400,000 forms of human being, then those who are most fortunate are those that actually understand what is their true purpose of their existence, how they came to be in this body, what is the purpose of this body, that this body is something different to themselves. And we have to understand these things. This is the only the preliminary understanding, to understand that the body is something temporary, that it is full of suffering. Ashashvatam dukayalam, it's temporary and full of suffering, causing us so much distress. The mind is causing us so much trouble. The other living entities are causing so much trouble. Natural disturbances are causing so much trouble. So simply when Sanatana Goswami, when he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami was a very, very learned scholar. And he had studied many scriptures. He was very highly placed in the government. He was known as being a pundit. And yet still, when he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he declared that I have no knowledge. I don't know anything. All I know is that I am suffering. So can you please tell me why? So actually this is what everybody should understand, just simply by observing. We can observe how we ourselves are suffering in this world. We can observe how others are suffering. We can see that previously our ancestors have suffered from birth, old age, disease, and death. We can see these things very easily. And yet somehow or another we are maybe thinking that this won't happen to me. Isn't it? People are running so fast, trying to accumulate so many things, so many material possessions, trying to get name and fame, trying to get some position, and yet it is all very temporary. One time there was one sage, he was living by the bank of the Ganga, and he was very, very old, and his hair was very long, and so many people, they would come and they would say, Baba, Maharaj, can we build a house for you? We need to give you some shelter from the rain, from the sun, so that you can be a little bit more comfortable in your meditation and bhajan. So the Baba, he said, what is the use? Actually, he had one benediction. He would, what is it? He would live every day, one hair would fall out, and he would live for, I think it was 100 years, for every hair that he lost. So you think how many hairs are in the head. So he had a long, long lifespan. So when they asked him, you have such a long life, we should build some shelter for you to protect you from the elements. He simply said, my life is so short, so temporary, what is the use of wasting this time and energy to build a structure or to build a house? Why waste time like that? My time is better spent in meditating and chanting about the glories of the Supreme Lord. So in this time, this realization we should all have, that our life is actually very short. If we are wasting just one moment, as Chanaka Pandit is saying, one moment cannot be bought back by so many gold coins. You cannot purchase one moment of your life. At the end of your life, you can ask the doctor, please give me some more time. Prabhupada sometimes tells that story about his friend who was dying, and he was saying to the doctor, I just need 6 more months to finish all my affairs. Just give me 6 months and everything will be finished up. But the doctor, even though he was such a good doctor, he did not have the ability to do that. Because only Krishna can save a person. If a person is going to be saved, then only Krishna can save him from death or destruction. Only God can do that. If Krishna wants, everybody can be saved. And if Krishna wants, everybody can be destroyed within a moment. So, simply if we can understand these things, life is temporary, it is very precarious, very precarious. Prahlad Maharaj is explaining this, padam padam yat vipadam natesham, so many, every step we are taking is dangerous. At any moment we could leave our bodies. So we have to try to understand what is the best thing that I can do for myself, for my family, for my friends, for society. What is the best thing that I can do? That we have to find out. And so, para upakar, one has to become like this. Very merciful to all living entities. If you find something that is valuable, then that thing should actually be distributed, not hoarded and hidden away. When Ramanuja, he went to his spiritual master, and his spiritual master, he gave him a mantra. And he told him, this mantra is secret. It is just for you. But this mantra will deliver you. It will give you moksha, liberation. So, Ramanuja was thinking, well, if this will give me liberation, it can give everybody liberation. So, of course, the spiritual master told him, if you reveal this to anybody, then you will go to hell. But he was so merciful that he climbed to the top of a building and he began to shout to everybody the mantra. He gave everybody this mantra for deliverance. So then when his spiritual master is hearing, why are you doing this? Why are you telling everybody this secret mantra? And he said, if that mantra can deliver me, and if by distributing this mantra I have to go to hell, but everybody else is liberated, then that is much better. Better that one person goes to hell rather than everybody goes to hell. So in this way, actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has come, and his representatives coming to Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, they have come and they are delivering the whole world at any cost. Whatever the cost is there, the sacrifice is there. Instead of being selfish, Prabhupada, he is giving freely to the whole world the means to become freed from this temporary suffering condition. So somehow or another we should take this mercy and understand that this mercy is the wonderful jewel, is the most valuable item that you can ever hope or imagine to find. This chanting of the Maha Mantra in the association of Vaishnavas, to hear regularly from the scriptures which are being presented by the Vaishnava authorities who are being instructed by the Supreme Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has instructed Sanatan Goswami and all the Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, they've been instructed to research and to present that information that is most relevant to the people now. You don't have to look through all the Vedas. You don't have to go for a big degree or big education. All you need to do is to hear the conclusions of the scriptures from the proper source. And simply that conclusion is to take up your spiritual life seriously and to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra constantly. To hear from the Bhagavad Gita, Srinvatam Svakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, constantly hearing about Krishna will simply deliver you from the pangs of birth, death, old age, and disease. All the different types of suffering that everybody in the world has, whether they are American, whether they are British, or European, or Indian, or Chinese, everybody in the world has got the same problems. People may be thinking we have particular problems in India that are different to the rest of the world. But actually, everybody has these same problems. And the medicine is there. Simply by chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, by distributing this Hare Krishna mantra, and by simply taking the diet of the Krishna Prasadam, it is not dry, it is not boring, it is very ecstatic. Simply dance in ecstasy and you go back to Godhead. Get free from this material contamination. Hare Krishna.
So let's chant, as Mahakratu Prabhu was saying, we should all chant Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
What more remains to be said? I will only take a few minutes of your time. Both here and at Juhu, where I've been staying for the last few days, I couldn't help but feel great satisfaction and pleasure in trying to think how Prabhupada would feel to see so many bright-faced, intelligent, beautiful men. I was going to say young men, but some of you are quite old. Don't mind. And I couldn't possibly say old ladies because that would not be very complimentary. But so many beautiful Indian devotees joining together and chanting and taking this philosophy seriously. This was Prabhupada's greatest desire, that he would go to the West and he would bring the dancing white elephants. So here we are sitting on the stage, or here I am sitting on the stage. But the purpose of the dancing white elephants was simply to attract all of you who are the real people of Bharatvas, the people who in their heritage, their culture for centuries and millennia have this inherent Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, the Westerners are so far away from Krishna, but they have turned from their materialism and they are looking, oh, there is Krishna. They are looking towards Krishna, but they are so far away. Prabhupada explained, the Indian people are so close to Krishna. Krishna is everywhere, but they have turned their back on Krishna. They're not looking towards Krishna. Where are they looking? Towards the west. In my current work in the social involvement of ISKCON, I've had to be a little involved in reading some books on sociology and psychology and so on and so forth. Over the last couple of days, I was reading a book which was called Life. It is an international bestseller. So everyone buys the book. It's called Life and How to Survive It. International bestseller. So I was reading and reading and reading and thinking all the time, what a load of rubbish this book is. I couldn't help, I was thinking, so much rubbish I'm reading, but still I'll have a look to see what the great international writers are writing about the state of the world, how to live our life and to survive it. But when I came in here this afternoon and Maharaj was speaking from Bhagavad Gita, then it becomes obvious. Life and how to live it or how to survive it. It begins by controlling the senses. This is the purpose of human life. As Maharaj was saying, Lord Rishabhdev explained to his sons, Tapo devyam putraka yena sadvam sudyajasmat brahma sokyam twanantam. This human form of life is not meant simply for sense gratification, which is available to the hogs, the dogs, all species of life. It is meant to understand the absolute truth and to understand our eternal relationship with that absolute truth and to finish up our business here in this rotten material world. It is a rotten world here in India. It is rotten wherever you go. Material means uncomfortable situation for the eternal soul. So I will not continue to lecture on that subject because I know that you all know this so well. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu encouraged everyone in Bharatvas. In fact, now as I'm speaking, I remember Prabhupada saying, he was saying also in one lecture I was listening to recently, he was saying, Bharat Bhumi Manushya Janma Hailajar, that all the people of Bharatvas, it is their duty to spread this knowledge all over the world for the benefit of the whole world. And then Prabhupada said, at least one Indian is doing this. So now there are hundreds, and I'm told here at Chaupati community, thousands of congregations. They are taking so seriously this mission. So if we want to please Srila Prabhupada, we
make our own lives perfect by learning how to control the senses to become human beings, and to make the world a better place by giving the only answer. Rajavijja rajaguyam pavitram idam uttamam pratyakshavagamam dharmyam shushukam kartamavyayam. This is the most secret of all secrets. This is how to live life. This is how to become perfect. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Should we take questions? Any questions? Dangerous corner. Maharaj, I would like to know how much prayas, endeavor we must do to maintain our Krishna consciousness. Where to draw line so we don't get involved in material activities.
But for me,
this question, how much endeavor to go through, of course, from one point of view, we should be willing to go through any amount of endeavor. I'll go through almost any amount of, how much endeavor will I go through to protect my business, to protect my car, to protect my house, to get nice food, then to protect my actual spiritual existence, then I should not give less, or I should not be unwilling to give more. Our full energy can be spent. From another point of view, more specifically, how we should divide up our energies for our different duties. For that we take our direction from Shastra and from the advanced devotees and the spiritual master. Every case is individual. So the spiritual master is there, and Shastra direction and devotee direction is there. So that we'll know that if I do this, it's excessive. To try to live on habits, too much. Or on the other side, not to simply to say, well, to get up in the morning and come to the Mangal Arati, that's over-endeavor. So we have to hear from, just as medicine, we hear from the qualified prescribing physician, this you should take, not less, not more, two pills four times a day or whatever it is. In that way. Is that all right?
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Just now in the lecture we heard that when Sanatan Goswami presented himself before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, I don't know anything actually. The only thing I know is I'm suffering, and please tell me why I'm suffering. But the problem with me is, though I theoretically have understood that, yes, I'm suffering, I'm not able to realize this practically, that yes, I'm suffering, and which is a hindrance to surrender to Krishna. Because until I really understand that I'm suffering, I'll not surrender to Krishna. And this might be case with many other people also. I'm not aware of that, but mostly when we preach, people do not accept that they are suffering. They say, we are very fine, we are happy. Just like I think about myself. So what is the remedy of that, to really understand that I'm suffering and so that we can surrender to Krishna?
Get married.
Maharaj, according to your definition, I'm already suffering.
He's already married.
Maharaj, according to your definition, I'm already suffering. Stick with it.
I could just add one word to it. I mean, the answer was perfect. Hare Krishna. The answer was perfect. I was just thinking to add one point, that people should not only practice Krishna consciousness because they suffer. Even if they are very, very happy in this world, they should also practice Krishna consciousness. It is not only meant for those who suffer, or those who think who do not suffer. It is meant for everybody. Even if you are very, very happy, what do you lose by practicing Krishna consciousness? And by practicing Krishna consciousness, then you will begin to realize that actually your happiness is not really happiness, that you suffer.
Hare Krishna, Guru. Hare Krishna. Swamiji, prior to coming regularly in this temple, I was having a series of questions to ask. But since I have started coming regularly, I don't have any question to ask. So whether I have deteriorated my knowledge or what had happened to me. By profession I am advocate, as such I am very much astonished what had happened to my knowledge. I am not asking any question. I don't have any question, Your Honor. I don't have any question. It is my problem here. Why I don't have any question? Whether I have deteriorated my knowledge or what had happened to me. This is my problem, no question.
So after you've eaten your meal, do you have to ask anybody if you are satisfied or not? When you've eaten to your satisfaction, then you feel fully satisfied. So in the same way, when you're coming here and you are seeing the lordships, Srisri Radha Gopinath, Sri Gaunitai, Srila Prabhupada, the assembled Vaishnavas, and you are hearing so much from the Shastra, from the Vaishnavas, then you become fully satisfied. So in this way, I think that now you are understanding more.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, when we hear lectures, we are in mode of goodness, and in association of devotees, we get convinced also, yes, we should control our senses, but when outside we get bombarded by a mode of passion and ignorance, it becomes very difficult to control the senses. That time, what should be our frame of mind?
I will give a beginning of an answer, and I'm sure the others will give some other answers. That is the big test in front of us all, is how to control the senses in spite of being in such an agitated environment, like a big city like Bombay or any big city of the world. Arjuna asked a similar question to the Supreme Lord. He said, "My Lord, to control the mind, it seems to be more difficult than to control the wind. For me, it is not possible. It's too difficult." So the Lord very nicely answered that, what is that Sanskrit beginning? Vairagya. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, the beginning of that. Asam Sayam Mahabaho. O mighty armed Arjuna. Yeah. It is undoubtedly very difficult to control the restless mind and senses. The mind is the sixth sense. But it is possible. And how is it possible? By constant practice and by detachment. So initially, at least, especially in the beginning stages, then one must consciously, meaning being aware that the sense objects are calling the senses and that the senses naturally are going to be attracted. So we have to consciously take effort to withdraw these senses from sense objects. It may seem a little mechanical in the beginning, but that is the process. We have to withdraw the senses from the sense object. That is why it is very beneficial, and Prabhupada established the ashrams throughout the world to give shelter to those aspiring devotees to practice in that association, how to become freed from those sense objects. It's a big subject matter, and I'm sure the others, Maharajis and Prabhus, can add so many nice comments. I hope. I'm sure.
When the atmosphere of Maya is bombarding us, so in Krishna consciousness, we not only protect ourselves, but we return the fire. Our program is to engage our senses in the service of Krishna, especially by chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that protects our senses, and it also changes the atmosphere. Not simply passive, how do I avoid getting sucked in, but on the other side, how to change the atmosphere. So this chanting Hare Krishna works both ways.
Another question?
गोपीनाथ मंदिर की ओर से इस गोल्डन जुबली
ठीक है आप ला करें सोने की चैन मैं सब ठीक कर दूंगा
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In a presentation some time back, you had mentioned that we must work to live and not live to work. There is a similar phrase like we must eat to live and not live to eat. Can you please explain this once again to us?
I think that's the same, basically the same meaning.
We should not live just to eat, because in other words, eating, that's not the purpose of life.
And working, just for the sake of working, that's also not the goal of life.
So we have to question ourselves,
why do I live in the first place? In other words, what's the actual goal of life?
So this question should be asked. And once we understand the
actual goal of life, then my eating
becomes a
purposeful.
It actually has a meaning. My working has a meaning. My existence, my living, all my endeavors to survive, to continue, to exist, it begins to have a meaning.
But if I do not understand the actual goal of life, then everything,
as Srimad Bhagavatam states, Shama Evahi Kevalam, more or less everything is just a waste of time.
Because I do not know what will
my future hold. When I have to leave this body, where will I go?
I do not know.
Therefore, first business should be to find out what's my goal of life.
And once this is properly understood,
then everything, every activity, every endeavor, everything has a meaning. Hare Krishna.
This satisfies your question?
Yes. Yeah.
Any other question?
Bhagavad Gita, it is written by Srila Prabhupada that the soul is in the heart. And in the modern days, heart transplants take place. What happens to that at that time?
The Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned there in the second canto that the heart is steel framed. So in a lecture to this, Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned that even thousands of years ago, people, they knew that actually the heart was just a mechanical thing, like stone or plastic. So, with reference to the soul being in the heart, actually it's described as in the region of the heart. So, even the heart may be changed from one heart to another in the sense of replacing the heart, still the soul is actually existing within that body, and for as long as the lifespan, or as many breaths, because the life is measured by the breath, as long as the breath are to be maintained, then that life will continue. The soul will remain in that body. Even sometimes we see that there are instances when the heart stops completely, and then after some time, there was one story actually where, if I remember correctly, a person, he was declared dead. The doctor had signed a death certificate, and they had put the body into the coffin, and they were about to bury the body. And just as they were speaking the last rites over the body, then they could hear a banging on the coffin. And so when they opened the coffin up, the person was actually living inside. He was still alive. So we have to just understand this point, that sometimes when Bhagavatam is speaking about heart, also it is not necessarily meaning just the mechanical heart. It's also there, the life airs are moving in different ways. The different life airs, prana, is moving, and the soul is actually being carried or supported within the life airs. Yeah, so, if there's any further on that, well, does that answer your question?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you told that we should fight against these material forces. When we try to do that, sometimes we feel that we are somewhat succeeded. Say for 1 month we could control something. But some attacks comes very severely. We do not know the intensity of it. And it is some type of gorilla type of attack. So, it attack and intensity may also vary. And possibly we may fall against that. So how can you understand that attack will come, and how we can do something so that we may not fall in that attacks of Maya against the material forces? So
Gorilla attacks. For that, this is a very serious attack. So for such a strong, because it's like that, Maya attacks very strongly. It's not a joke, actually, that Maya may simply dangle something in front of us. That's one attack. But Maya may very forcefully push. You have to accept me. You have to accept me. You have to accept me. You'll die if you don't accept me. You have to accept me. So Maya has so much force. Mama Maya Duratya. Maya is very powerful. Krishna says, Daivihyesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratya. My illusory energy is so powerful, no one can defeat Maya. Mama Maya, it's empowered by me. So when Maya is empowered by Krishna, who can defeat the power of Maya? Maya is so powerful that it's described in third canto. Lord Kapiladev says that you want to know how powerful Maya is. Just by lifting her eyebrow, a woman can control even the great commanders of the world. The Mark Antony in Roman history, just by Cleopatra, he completely lost his sense. Or there are modern examples also. So Maya's very strong. She can conquer even the greatest leaders of the world. So, but Daibhyesha gunamayi mama maya dratvaya mam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. If one takes shelter of me, Krishna says, then he can cross over Maya. So taking shelter of Krishna means taking shelter of Krishna's mercy, taking shelter of this process of Krishna consciousness, Krishna's instructions, Krishna's name, Krishna's devotees, everything. So if we stick strongly within the protection of this process of devotional service, then Krishna will protect us. Then the gorillas will not be able to conquer. Is that all right?
Just was thinking about your question there for a moment, and about this guerrilla attacks. Actually, Maya is accompanying us all the time. Our entire body, mind, intelligence that we perceive is actually made of Maya in that sense. Krishna is accompanying also, but actually we are wanting to see Maya. So Maya, because she is actually dominated our entire being, she knows what is our innermost desires and feelings also. Just as Krishna knows, Maya also knows. So one has to be very determined to turn towards Krishna and not towards Maya.
Now Bhakti Bhai Bhav Maharaj will lead kirtan.